Hey, everybody. Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess. Just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May. And you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com. Then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in, do go on the quiz show, and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess. This
podcast. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to another intro to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicke, and I'm just here at the start of the show to quickly tell you that this week's episode of Do Go On was recorded live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with our good friend and fourth Beatle, Nick Mason. Now, this was the fourth and final Melbourne International Comedy Festival show that we did, and we just want to make a huge thank you to everyone who came to all of those shows. They were all packed, and we had such a good time, our best year yet, in my opinion. And to all the people came from overseas, from interstate, locals, people that had season passes and came every week. It really blew our little minds. So thank you so much for coming along. We really do appreciate that. Now, this is the second of the four that we've released onto the main feed. And the other two episodes, we are saving up our sleeves for Patreon bonus episodes. In fact, we've already released one this month in April, and that episode was all about wacky sports stories. And we'll have another one coming out next month as one of our Patreon bonus episodes. If you want to be able to hear those, you just have to support the show at patreon.com/dogoonpod. But until the end of the show, where I'll come back and thank a few of our Patreon supporters by name, please enjoy this episode recorded live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Melbourne's iconic European Beer Cafe for a momentous occasion, the second ever live episode of Do Go On. Now, put your hands together and welcome to the show, members 1, 2 and 4 of Do Go On, Dave Warnicke, Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Oh, hang on, that means I'm number 4.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, bitch!
Shit! Hello, Melbourne! How you doing out there? All right!
There's so many of you. Hello.
Has some of you snuck in?
Okay, I said there's so many of you, and then there was like a, hi.
Let's try that again. There's so many of you!
Wow. No, it would have been funnier if they just said hi.
I know. To be honest.
They fucked it.
You fucked it. You fucked it. It feels great to be here. Has everyone got a beer like me? This beer makes me look like a child. Apparently that's a small.
You're a small, Dave.
Yeah. Cheers.
I just like how it's taking your entire hand to grasp it.
Oh, look at that.
Two hands.
Yeah. I love beer. Put that down.
Why are we delaying it so long? Everyone's here to see one person. It's not us.
And that only hurts a little bit.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome to the stage member number 3 of this podcast. You might know him from the Weekly Planet, but please give it up for the man, the magic that is, Nick Mason. Yeah. Hello, Maso.
White pants. I think we should address that immediately. It's a bold choice.
I love it.
I walked here from the car with a full bottle of Coke, and I didn't ruin myself.
And you've got diarrhea.
I know, right? I'm going to be leaving the stage facing the front, and my Uber's ready to go out the front as well. Hey, guys, thanks for having me. This is very exciting.
Hey, thanks for being here. What a time to be alive.
In what way?
I don't know. It's the end of the festival. I'm pretty much checked out, to be honest. So everyone have fun. I'll be here if you need.
No, it is great to have you here, Meso, for our biannual live episode with you. It's been 2 years since we last performed on stage. I say performed. On stage with you.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here. Was it the Loch Ness Monster was last time?
Yeah. Right? Has anyone heard that episode before?
What a great performance that was.
Yeah. Well,
that was one of our best performances.
It was the jazz hands that really took it across the line for me.
I think we were actually sitting in the same order because you posted a photo yesterday and someone said some version of ugliest to best looking.
Now, hang on. I believe it was...
Who is this one person? Are you in the audience? Show yourself, coward. Which way
is it going?
I really did not want to ask that question.
I believe it was scariest to least scary looking.
Oh, same difference. Oh,
yeah. How would any of us be scary? Facial hair is scary, apparently. Can we also address that Matt's got his hat on backwards?
I had a haircut today.
Take the hat off.
It's an audio podcast. I wouldn't do it to the people at home. I don't want them missing out on anything.
Matt's just keeping his hat on.
I mean, wanted them to know so that they can... Oh! So they can... So
looks
they
the same. Looks the same. Looks the same.
Now, I reckon they were right with the order from ugliest to least ugly, actually, so...
Wait, which order?
Yeah. I'll take 2 or 3. I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah, either way. It's risky over here.
Yeah, we're safe in the middle.
That's right.
We're average.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Dave, explain the show.
Some of you might know what the show is. Give me a round of applause if you've ever heard the show at all before. Quite good. Okay, the other end of the scale here. Now, don't be shy.
Who's the ugliest?
Oh. Oh, no.
We have a volunteer.
Thank you, sir. You're very brave. That was a brave stance to take.
Didn't even hear the question. Who's got herpes?
Woo! Don't be shy. Okay, don't be shy. If you've never heard the show before, give us an applause now. You are that proud of it. It's weird. It is weird.
So is the ugly, got herpes, and has never heard the show before? Makes sense. Yeah. People who listen to this show, cured of herpes.
Yeah. You'd think somebody staying at home waiting for test results would be listening to a lot of podcasts, yeah. But I guess not. There's a lot of stuff on Netflix.
And also, I want to address the stigma around herpes. We've all got it.
Yeah. And we all got it from you.
Apparently nearly everyone's got it, apart from people who listen to Do Go On, so...
Yeah. So, folks, listen. Look to your left and look to your right, and if...
That
one of those people doesn't have herpes, it's you. But luckily for us, it's Matt, so...
Yeah.
Oh. I've always wondered why Matt wanted to replace his upper lip with hair. The answer is herpes.
Oh, you reckon I got face herpes?
Yeah.
That's very sweet of you. I'm not sure how, but let's move on if we can. Anyway, so this would be official episode number 11 or 10? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jess, say something funny. Yay!
We did it.
She is that good. Now, if you haven't heard the show before, the few people that haven't, basically what we do is we take it in turns to report on a topic. often suggested by a listener. Usually there's three of us here, but we are very happy to have Nick Mason as a very special guest here today.
When I got here, I had a sudden thought. This was like 10 minutes before the show started, and I went to Matt and I said, am I doing the report today?
And I said, yes, you are. Here it is.
There we go.
That's me every time we record. I go, am I doing it? And they go, yeah. And I go, oh, no.
So every single one of yours has been off the top of the dome.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm very good at improv. As I demonstrated just before.
Now, it is Matt's turn to report on a topic this week. And yes, we're really glad you had that laptop, because you got the charger back, which you left here last week, about 2 minutes before the show started.
Hanging on by a thread here. But we might need them improv skills soon. Ba-ba. So I'm going to ask a question to get us on a topic. And the question this week is, what topic was suggested to me by our Doctor of Podcast Level Patreon supporter, Brian Colella, when we went out for brunch last week?
Okay, first of all, adorable. Second of all, where the fuck was my invite? Dave, that's were you invited?
That's a Patreon award. I have to drink a beer in front of him. And he's only been in town.
You're really making some sacrifices for the patrons. Yeah.
I had to drink a beer in front of him. Anyway, okay, we've got to get inside the mind of Brian.
Okay.
And the mind of someone having brunch. Eggs Benedict?
Yeah.
The history of Eggs Benedict.
Oh, Pope Benedict. The 16th. The bad one that quit.
The bad one that quit.
Yeah.
None of those other 15 great ones.
Yeah. Oh, the first 15. What an era. They went 1 to 15 for about 100 years. Anyway, a bit of history there. Okay.
You're on the right track thinking of brunch things.
Oh.
We met there in particular for this. Not the beer, the other thing we were having.
Oh.
Was in particular. Anyway, we're wasting time now, I feel like. An American coming to Australia having brunch, what would he have? What would he want to experience?
Something with beetroot.
Vegemite.
Whoa.
Correct.
Wow.
And the crowd went wild, Brian. This guy suggested it. Stand up, Brian. Show him. Show him. Show him who did this.
Yay!
He did this. Not me.
I've got to ask, did he suggest Vegemite, or did he eat it and go, what the fuck is Vegemite? And you were like, good question, I'm going to find out.
Yes.
You spread it thick and then you hold your nose and you just dive in. That's how Vegemite works.
That's what I told him. Mm-hmm. In the late 1800s, it was discovered by a German scientist named Justus von Liebig that brewer's yeast... Thank you.
That's Justus. One of mine.
Great name. Justus. Very solid name.
Justus von Liebig.
Oh, I love that so
He
much.
Discovered that brewer's yeast could be concentrated and turned into an edible spread. And by 1902, such a product was manufactured and sold in Britain by the name of Marmite. Mm.
Yeah, correct.
Audio listeners note, we're holding up cards that say boo, cheer, laugh. There we go, laugh went up. It's a relief.
Wait, is this the thing? Because we've been getting booed on social media this week. Is that because of you, some reason?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that's referring to at all. I think maybe just your star has dipped a little bit. That's probably...
I have a star?
You have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, yes.
And it's dipped.
It's dipped.
Your star has dipped.
Your star has dipped.
Okay.
No, sometimes I've asked people to boo me at live. Okay, just so you know, just so I have low expectations.
Okay, great.
Keep you humble.
Keep me humble, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Well, tonight let's just boo Marmite. Okay. So when they're booing Marmite, they're really booing you.
Okay, cool. Sounds really good. Yeah, yeah, great.
You're the human equivalent of Marmite.
Oh. Too far.
The most offensive thing ever said on this show.
Someone just yelled, what the fuck? Right? Now I feel like the bad boy of the pod. I'm going to take all
you
of
are,
you down.
I'd say you are the worst at being a boy on the pod.
But I give it a bloody red hot go.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll
see. Look to your left, look to your right, Jess.
Marmite.
Thank you.
Also became popular overseas, including in Australia. But the First World War led to a shortage of Marmite.
Are you booing Marmite or war there? I wasn't quite sure. Okay, good.
No, we're pro-war.
Okay.
Pro-war, anti-Marmite.
All right.
The only war we like is the war on Marmite.
War on Marmite.
Yeah. So the war led to a shortage of Marmite being imported into Australia.
Yeah, that was challenging, wasn't it? You wanted to boom Marmite, but now there's not enough. You're like, that's good.
But if they completely run out of Marmite, what are we going to boom? No, that's fair. Me, all right.
We all need an enemy.
This led to Fred Walker & Co. trying to come up with its own spreadable yeast extract product. Now you get it? The problem was that the recipe for Marmite was a... I'm feeling some regret about that.
No.
The recipe for that product was a tightly held secret.
Wait, what product? I've lost track.
Marmite.
Oh.
It was a tightly held secret. So Fred Walker enlisted an Australian chemist named Cyril P. Callister to come up with their own spread to fill the hole in the market temporarily created by the scarcity of Marmite.
Our yeast hole's so empty. We need somebody to fill it.
Fred Walker...
I don't know if you know this, but the show after this today is the Little Dum Dum Club. Anyone seeing that? Did anyone see Tommy Dasilo's show a few years ago about Vegemite?
2013.
Did you see this?
No. I heard someone told me last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was telling him I was going to do Vegemite today, like, well, you should talk to Tommy Dasilo.
Yeah.
Because I said, well, how could I possibly get onto him? He's in the show after us.
He's literally in the building right now.
Yeah.
Well, we bring him up because his show a few years ago was about how his grandfather is Cyril P. Callister?
Fred Walker.
Fred Walker. Yeah. Oh, that's right. And in the show, there was a bit of a smackdown. Oh, you should have been there. What are the chances? This is amazing.
Well, maybe this is a good opportunity to talk about Koh Samui. If you want to ask Tommy Dasilo.
Yeah, just approach him on the beach in Thailand.
He's trying to relax. He's been working hard all year.
Is anyone coming to the Koh Samui Podcast Festival?
Does anyone want to boo the Koh Samui Podcast Festival?
Sorry, man, no herpes allowed. Nah, you're all right, come on.
It's all right, herpes will be provided on arrival at Koh Samui. So don't even worry, don't feel left out.
Callister started experimenting with discarded yeast from the famous Carlton and United Brewery. People in the room would know who they are, but they're probably the most famous brewery in Australia. They make VB and Carlton Draft.
How good's beer?
He was able to concentrate the clear liquid extract before blending it with salt, as well as vegetable extract from celery and onion and other unnamed vegetables, which made it the distinctive sticky black paste we all know and love.
At what point did you, you're experimenting and it comes out as a black, sticky, smelly paste, and you're like, I think I'm onto something here.
Do you want a genuine answer? All the time. Sometimes I don't even get my own jokes. But most of the time. Fred Walker was ready to market his new product, but it needed a name. And according to Vegemite's website, Walker held a competition inviting the Australian public to create a name for the new spread. A prize of £50, a sizable sum for that era, was placed into a prize pool for finalists. Hundreds of entries were received, and Shala Walker, the daughter of Fred...
Oh. Sorry.
How would you say that?
Sheila?
Oh. So what is that?
I really, really prefer Shala.
That's how you spell Sheila. Bloody hell. I think back in the early 1900s it was pronounced differently, but
yep.
Language evolves, it's fluid.
Yeah, it's very true, yeah.
That's true.
So she picked the winner. I've read somewhere out of the hat. I don't know if she chose it or she just plucked it, but she was the one who picked the name Vegemite.
iSnack 1.0.
I will chat about that a little later on. So it's basically a rip-off of Promite, right? But
the crowd is indifferent to Promite.
I mean, what's the one? Marmite. What's promite?
It's not a thing.
Much nicer.
It is, yes. Wait, hang on. Then Vegemite? Someone said here that it's much nicer than Vegemite. What do you reckon of that?
Name and shame. It's still going, listener Katie. Katie, shame on you.
Unfortunately, the name of the winning contestant, whoever wrote the name Vegemite, has been lost to history.
Oh, well.
Now it's anyone's to claim.
Yeah, I'll take that credit.
Good on you, Dave.
Thank you so much. Some would say it's my biggest life achievement, but...
I don't know, you nearly drank a beer.
No! Whoa!
Dave.
I got so close. Oh, God. Look at that.
Oh. You okay?
You know when you feel the peer pressure of a crowd, but then you just think, I'm going to be sick.
For those at home, he went from about 10 mils down to 5 mils.
All right.
Dave.
Hey! Wow.
He just finished
the
last
sip. That's the most applause ever given for the least amount of anything, I feel. And I applaud you for that.
Hang on. I have a weird esophagus. This is an achievement, people. This is an achievement.
Does he go a day without mentioning his weird esophagus? No. Mate, we get it.
You're unique. I wake up most mornings to a message from him like, morning, got a weird esophagus. I'm like, all right, Dave.
And I've never spelt it right once.
Shyla? Vegemite hit the shelves of grocery stores in 1923, so a good couple of decades after Marmite.
I think you'd say a good couple of decades after it was developed. It took that long.
How do we get it into a shop? We don't understand.
They got it out real quick. It was advertised as being great for children's health, as well as being described as delicious on sandwiches and toast, and improving the flavour of soups, stews and gravies.
No, thank you.
The public did not get on board.
I think back in the day they also said all the same things about cocaine. So, you know, science isn't what it is now.
Yeah.
Cocaine really does. It shushes up a soup, cocaine.
It really does, yeah.
If you want to speed your soup up, boy. So sales are really low. In 1926, Fred Walker started a joint venture with America's J.L. Kraft Incorporated called Kraft Walker Cheese Company. They continue to make Vegemite as well as processed cheese products.
I was wondering when the cheese would come in, but immediately is the answer.
That is a terrible name. I mean, were you all thinking that? That's a terrible name.
Kraft Walker Cheese Company.
Yeah, under it, Dave just whispered, that sucks.
By 1928, sales of Vegemite were still slow. By this stage, supply of Marmite was strong again.
They should have changed the name to Kraft Walker Cheese and Vegemite Company. That might have shifted some units, you know.
So Marmite's now dominating the spreadable yeast extract market.
I know, right?
In a ploy to win over some of Marmite's market share, they changed the name of Vegemite to Parwil. This is a fact I didn't know. The obvious change-up.
I think I get it. I get where this is going. All right.
So the idea of this is so they can use the slogan, Marmite, but Parwil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sales did not pick up.
I mean, that's just good marketing.
Is that a pun?
Yes. Yeah.
It's certainly a play on words.
Right.
Yeah.
See, look, I'm not the only one confused by this.
Yeah. Matt doesn't get puns, which is weird because he's the pun king.
Oh. Get him in there. Get him in the pun department of Vegemite. He would be smashing it.
Any second now.
I'd be like, week four, they'll call a meeting. What have you got up to? Just still Googling what pun means. By the mid-1930s, they've reverted to the original Vegemite name. Parwil bit the dust. Sales remain slow. In 1935, they used the company's cheese arm to help drag Vegemite...
Now that's a superhero I can get behind.
If every company had a cheese arm.
I know what, you'd want a blue cheese arm, wouldn't you?
Oh, I love a blue cheese.
Veiny. Big veiny cheese. Cheese, huh?
The veinier the better, my goodness.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's what blue cheese is, Jess. Grow up.
Read a book.
Read a book, thank you.
About cheese.
So yeah, they use the company's cheese arm to help drag Vegemite towards success.
So I'd go for like a brie or something. Oh, but that wouldn't be as structurally sound.
It'd get a bit runny, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness, on a hot
especially
day.
If it's hot, yeah.
You need a hard cheese.
Yeah. I know, but...
Yeah, I'd be using a cheddar.
Cheddar,
for sure.
Yeah.
But then you want the flexibility for gripping.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, right?
String cheese.
String cheese, thank you. Yes.
That's the winner.
Mm-hmm. Big a stringer.
Yeah. You just sort of like pull out a few strings to make fingers.
So they're using the cheese to bring Vegemite.
I'll be thinking about this for the next 10 minutes. Off you go, Maddie. Sorry.
So they're using the cheese to promote Vegemite by starting to include coupons for free jars of Vegemite in packets of their cheddar cheese. In effect, giving it away, much like an entrepreneurial drug dealer might do. Giving some free samples to try to get the market hooked, and it worked, with the Australian public becoming hooked on that sticky, icky spread. That same year, Fred Walker passed away. I'll give you a quick bio
on
him.
But the founder of Marmite passed away too.
Fred Walker, born in Hawthorne in the affluent east.
Fantastic suburb.
Beautiful place, beautiful place where only legends live.
Absolutely. Love that, love that. Josh Frydenberg. Oh, what a great local member. I salute you, treasurer. Keep ruining the planet. Yes!
Is he from Hawthorne?
Yeah.
We have to move.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. That's the most political this podcast ever been, I reckon.
Yeah.
And we bloody got him. Yeah. Can we call ourselves satire now?
I think this is absolutely satire now.
Yeah, he will not be re-elected now. We changed it all.
We're going to get off stage and we're all going to be blocked by him on Twitter. It's going to be... He's back there, I can see him.
I saw him picking up his dry cleaning once.
Oh, wow. Fancy man.
Can you believe that?
Has clothes that require dry cleaning.
Ooh,
not just things that you go, my body heat will do it. Whatever. Fuck off, loser.
Body heat does not clean clothes.
What's that?
It irons them.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah.
So he was born in 1844, then he moved to Hong Kong, and at the age of 19 years of age, he founded Fred Walker & Co. He founded this whole company at 19. In 1903 is when he was 19. End of sentence.
Matt, do you want me to read along with you, or...?
It was the full stop after Co.
That's messed you up, hasn't it? Yeah, no, that would get me as well. Yeah.
Fred Walker & Co. Full stop.
Yeah.
In 1903, full stop. So, really, I was pretty quick thinking there.
I think so. I think you improved your way out of that perfectly.
I don't think anyone even noticed.
No, I don't think they noticed.
He then served in the Australian military from 1908 to 1918, where he was promoted to the rank of captain. After the war, he went back to his business, which was producing Red Feather canned foods and Bonox, which is a beef extract drink, which is still made today. You can still drink beef.
Like Bovril, so, yeah.
I guess it's Aussie, yep. Aussie Bovril. He was a big player in food and was also very good to his employees, apparently.
I'm so sorry. I just need to stop the show real quickly. Did you just BYO chair? I saw you
and
leave.
And you thought you got away with it.
No. You are... The fire code violations are through the roof now. That's too many people.
You left.
Out you go.
Grabbed a chair, put it down and went...
Sure.
I salute you. That's some good stuff.
It's a recliner too. Where did you even get it?
Banana lounge.
Oh.
Sorry, Matt, but...
So Frankie was very good to his employees. Examples of this include the fact he introduced morning tea breaks.
Oh, also love a morning tea.
Also a canteen and first aid facilities. Obviously the
no one
minimum requirement for being a good boss back then was pretty low.
Was gave them a short break. And a packet of Band-Aids.
Apparently people were fighting to work for it. They,
cool.
They heard about the Band-Aids.
I've got an open gunshot wound. If I could just get into the break room, bandage that up.
He died of heart disease at the age of only 51. After his death, Melbourne University initiated the Fred Walker Prize for Postgraduate Chemistry.
Yeah, cool.
Does that still exist? Anyone know? Doesn't matter.
It's almost like you could have looked that up.
I mean, we all could have looked it up, Jess.
Yeah,
don't put that
point.
On me.
No, you're right. I feel like an idiot now.
That's all I wanted.
And the prize goes to the best new sticky black breakfast substance, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool, nice. Try and beat Vegemite, we bloody dare you. You never will.
And then Promote arrived.
Oh. But Katie is cheering. One person likes it.
I like it too, Katie, but don't tell anyone. If you don't know much about Vegemite, according to Wikipedia, this is mainly for probably most people here would understand what it is, but people listening overseas might not. This is what it says on Wikipedia. It's a real beginner's guide. A common way of eating Vegemite is on toasted bread with a layer of butter or margarine. Only a small amount of Vegemite is required due to its strong flavour.
Not true, go nuts. Just as much as you want.
A Vegemite sandwich may consist of two slices of buttered bread.
Oh my
Vegemite
God,
and cheese.
A sandwich.
Is there a little hyperlink for sandwich and you can click on sandwich if you don't know what it is?
Invented in 1807 by Sir William Sandwich.
That is true, isn't it? It's someone like
the
that.
The Earl of Sandwich.
Earl of Sandwich, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Not William. Jess, you idiot. So it's two in a minute.
Should I go on timeout now?
No, please don't. So a Vegemite sandwich may consist of two... May, not necessarily. Could have... Two slices of buttered bread, Vegemite and cheese. But other ingredients such as lettuce, avocado and tomato can be added as well. It's really up to you.
Thanks, Wikipedia. Thanks for your permission.
Wow.
To add extra condiments to my sandwich. Wikipedia. Now they're right. They're a very valuable resource.
It's great. Oh, yeah, if you don't know, Wikipedia is like an online website, which you can go... If you've got a computer, you can go on there. And it's got lots of information on different things, so... That'd be one of my hottest tips. Check it out. Yeah. In 1936, the electric toaster is a new feature of Australian kitchens.
Wow, and do you have the Wikipedia entry for electric toaster open there?
No, I don't, sorry. But on the Vegemite website it said, kicking off the iconic combo of Vegemite on toast. Can you name a more iconic duo? Oh, wait.
Sonny and Cher.
That's very iconic.
Thank you.
That's very good, actually, yeah.
All right, you win this round. In 1937, things were turning around for Vegemite. They launched a limerick competition with big prizes.
That's the turning point.
According to the Vegemite website, this is a big turning point. They had a limerick competition which included prizes like Pontiac cars, and it got a lot of buzz and led to increased sales. Unfortunately, the winning limerick has been lost to history, but Dave...
They have Dave, the worst record keepers ever.
Dave, I reckon you could come up with one now.
Oh,
Vegemite
no.
Limerick.
If it helps, Vegemite's very popular in Nantucket. That helps at all.
Okay.
That's the first line sort of for you.
There once was a disgusting spread. I put it on bread. What rhymes with sandwich?
Bandwidth.
Bandwidth, there we go. Perfect.
Obviously.
You can put it on a sandwich. Wikipedia that if you have the bandwidth. But before I eat it, I'd rather be dead. You would never guess that Matt asked me to write that 2 hours ago. That's acting. That is acting.
Did you hear, after your first line, someone said, it's already bad. Running commentary.
Give it a chance. Yeah. It's only got two lines left. It's
Did I win a Pontiac for that effort?
Yes.
Yeah.
I assume yes, probably.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Just before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Also in 1937, Vegemite got an official product endorsement from the British Medical Association. This means that the spread could be advertised in the British Medical Journal. And according to Vegemite's website, this led to medical professionals and baby care experts recommending Vegemite spread as a vitamin B-rich, nutritionally balanced food for their patients.
Leeches are out. Vegemite's in.
Yucky.
In World War II, Australia's military bought Vegemite in bulk to include in soldiers' rations.
There's some kerfuffle outside. Pipe down! We're talking about Vegemite in here! It's Australia!
Unbelievable.
Bit of respect.
I'm so sorry.
I bet they're Marmite people. Fun stuff for the people at home, no doubt. In World War II, Australia's military bought Vegemite in bulk to include in soldiers' rations due to the nutritional values. They started to put out ads asking consumers to only buy Vegemite if they really need it. What a powerful move for a company. Yeah. Hey, we know everyone wants it, but unless you're sick or going to war, really leave it for people
in need.
You
know, sometimes you've had a jar of Vegemite in your pantry for like 8 to 10 years and you still haven't finished it. Well, don't buy any more. Okay.
After the war, when supply was back up and the baby boom was on, Vegemite was in 9 out of 10 Australian homes.
You kind of made that sound like people are using Vegemite as lube.
Yeah, we're talking about a while ago. There was lube technology had not come on.
Weirdly, I'm back on board now.
So like one of their homes didn't have Vegemite in it, but their remaining 9 investment properties did have Vegemite in it.
Yeah.
Nah, good for them. Good for them.
That's very good.
Yeah, boomers.
Got them.
Any boomers in? Any boomers in tonight? Good.
Yeah. We don't really appeal to boomers, to be honest. Mostly because they don't know what podcasts are.
We definitely have boomer listeners.
My parents?
Yes.
Yeah, for example, Josh Frydenberg.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Mate, he is Gen X as that guy.
Yes. Well, he has the hairline of a baby boomer, but anyway.
I mean, you're sitting there with your hair hat, all high and mighty.
I'm feeling real good.
In 1952, the US company Kraft bought out the Australian share of Kraft Walker Cheese Company, meaning Kraft Walker Cheese Company was no more.
Oh.
They changed their name to Kraft Foods Limited. So way back in 1952, Vegemite became wholly American owned. I thought it was more recent than that.
Brian.
Brian, the American in the front row, gave a real sad round of applause for that. In 1950...
Everyone else, get him!
In 1954, the iconic Happy Little Vegemites jingle is aired as a radio ad, and 2 years later, when television came to Australia, the jingle turned into a TV commercial. The ad featured 8 smiling children singing the jingle. Do you remember it?
I only remember the first couple. You guys, you know it. Sorry, everyone. Soph's speaking on your behalf and saying, we'll help.
I love how a palpable tension has gone through the room.
We're happy little Vegemites, as bright as bright can be. We always love a Vegemite for breakfast, lunch and tea.
We all adore a Vegemite. Iconic.
Iconic.
Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both just going,
all right, guys, now let's take it for verse 2.
Beneath our radiant sun across the endless chasing hands. Do you understand what they're talking about there?
Yeah, second verse of the national anthem, which none of us know. They usually just do the one and we're like, that'll do, don't worry about the rest.
So the jingle, obviously, Jess wasn't around in 1954. She knows it because they remastered and aired it again in the late 80s and then on and off between 1991 and 2010.
I was alive then.
And in 2007, a nationwide search was conducted to find the 8 kids to recreate the original ad for its 50th year anniversary. Unfortunately, they were all dead. That is not true. They were all...
It was funny when it was true, wasn't it? So, you know, I understand why you went there.
They're all...
It's a hilarious Vegemite-related mishap.
All of them.
They all went at the same time.
It's a curse to the Vegemite.
But they were so bad at keeping records, no one knew.
Now, they were also alive and they recreated the ad, and that ad campaign ended up winning the Arts, Entertainment and Media Campaign of the Year Award at the November 2007 Asia-Pacific PR Awards.
Wow, round of applause. That's fantastic.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
wow.
The Asia-Pacific PR Awards.
That's right, that's
is
the whole region.
Is there a higher honour?
I mean, that takes in all the ads in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji.
Tonga.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it sounded like you were being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Asia as well. I only got the Pacific part, but also Asia. That's Japan, China, Indonesia.
Oh, really? Wow. Where else?
Bali, probably.
Uh-huh, I mean, and?
The list goes on.
Yep.
Singapore.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur, which is in...
Malaysia.
Malaysia. Koh Samui in Thailand.
Which will be there soon.
I can only say Kuala Lumpur like the B-man
the
in
Bumble
The Simpsons. Kuala Lumpur when he takes over the news reading duty. Anyway.
Well, there's a Simpsons reference for the episode. Well done. Kuala Lumpur. France. It's good stuff. It is good stuff.
In April 1984, a jar of Vegemite was written into history as the first product in Australia to be electronically scanned at a checkout.
I mean, if you applauded the Asia Awards, you've got to applaud that as well. That is the that, yeah, wow. Yeah. They did it.
The name of that checkout chick has been lost to history. In 2008, the billionth jar of Vegemite was produced.
Billionth?
That seems like a lot, right?
Billionth with a B.
Yes.
Whoa. That's heaps.
Jess's spelling has come a long way.
And my maths.
Put it in a sentence.
Billion is a big number. Thank you so much.
They've tried to make many spin-off products over the years, mostly with limited success. In the 90s, Kraft released a mashup of their two most iconic products, Vegemite and Kraft Singles. Familiar with, did Kraft Singles, are they international?
Yeah.
So the plastic cheese slices. So they infused Vegemite into that cheese.
Well, they're both gross, so maybe put them together and, you know.
I'd have an arm of Kraft Singles, I reckon. You'd stick to things, like a... you know? But, oh, delicious.
The product proved to be unpopular. Uh-huh. You're doing a lot of mime stuff for a podcast.
Yeah, for the people at home, I've been miming the whole show.
And they were soon deleted. They did not catch on.
You said they were deleted?
Deleted.
Yeah, they're a deleted line. That's retail lingo, I thought.
Have you ever walked into a shop? Is that true? You
never worked an honest day in his life.
Not true. Yeah, that's why I vote Liberal. All right.
The name of the creator of iSnack 2.0 was deliberately deleted from history. So,
is that true? Like, that's a. Yeah, yeah. You walk into a shop and you go, "Hi, I'm just looking for the T-shirt I've seen online. I'm sorry, that we no longer have that. That has been deleted from our rank. Deleted from the line."
This is like Tony Abbott when he saw that book library.
What is this?
And I just want to say this is an amazing invention. That is a spot-on Tony Abbott impression.
Is no elected politician safe from you this episode, Dave Warnicky?
I will take you all down. I'm coming for you next, Bill Shorten.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what he's got.
Yeah, what's Bill sound like?
He sounds a bit like this. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Shorten. I'm 33 years old.
He does not look good for his age.
No.
Name a politician and I'll take him down.
No, I'm Name bored one. Of this already.
Adolf Hitler. This should be an easy one, to be honest.
Yeah, that's so easy. You can do this.
Hello, Dave, have you got anything bad to say about Hitler?
Hello, my name is Adolf Hitler, and if I was still alive, I'd be 133 years old. Huh?
That is a brutal takedown.
Cop that.
I forgot we weren't doing that anymore, but I actually just thought, who's the most fucked politician you can think of, forgetting that you have a history? But I've now made it worse, for sure. This will not make the episode that goes out.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, Dave, in advance. And, you know, now as well, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
In 2015, they collaborated with Cadbury to release a Vegemite-flavoured block of chocolate.
I never had that, and I feel like I missed out. You didn't. I didn't, apparently. The audience collectively stood up and said, no, you didn't.
Feedback was mixed. The Guardian was pretty brutal in their review, saying, "It doesn't resemble the beautiful, tangy, salty gloriousness of Vegemite spread on hot buttered toast. Instead, it tastes like licking a plate where Vegemite was smeared many months ago, then left in the sink to fester."
How do you know what that tastes like?
Journalists of The Guardian, you know, they do their research.
Do your dishes more frequently.
In 2009... This is the more iconic one that Meso's alluded to. 2009, a new Vegemite product was released, a spreadable mixture of cream cheese and Vegemite. And as they did with the initial product, they opened a competition for the public to name the product. At the AFL Grand Final that year, which I attended, it was announced that the winning name, as chosen by a panel of marketing experts, was iSnack 2.0.
Marketing experts.
Supposedly, they were trying to capitalise on the popularity of Apple iPods and iPhones.
What year was it?
2009.
Sorry, can we hear that one more time, that sound?
Oofed. The year 2009 got an oofed.
Yeah, it was a sexy year.
Saints won the first 17 games in a row that year and still lost the... Yeah, all right.
Wow.
This name was mercilessly mocked online. According to a Sydney Morning Herald article from The Time, it was given the collective thumbs down by consumers, becoming the second most talked about topic on Twitter within 24 hours of the announcement, and spawning Facebook hate groups, blogs, and prompting a torrent of online bile.
Was anyone a member of one of those Facebook hate groups?
Imagine starting a blog about it. Go outside. Watch TV. Do anything else. Who cares?
Book tickets to the Koh Samui podcast.
Yeah,
festival.
Do that.
You know, anything else. Carl asked me before the show to mention it as many times as I could.
You are nailing it. And really sneaking it in there too.
You're really coming across as a marketing expert.
Yeah. It's subliminal messaging. Yeah. They'll leave.
Have you considered naming a gross thing? It's marketing expert. Yeah, you get it now. Sorry. That'll go as well in the edit.
I don't get my jokes or your jokes.
Oh, good.
Carl, by the way, is the guy who hosts the Dum Dum Club. I forget, I'm just saying people's names like... Do you know one? And it doesn't matter. All right. I think back to 2009 and I'm like, nothing's really changed since then, but... reading that article, I was like, oh no, it's changed a little bit. It sounds a bit dated. The article goes on to quote a website called epicfailstore.com and the founder, Matthew Morrison. And Matthew Morrison said, I saw the announcement on Saturday when I was watching the AFL. And from then, I've been watching cyberspace go nuts.
Wow. Go outside. Yeah. Read a book. Talk to a human.
I'm caught in a traffic jam on the information superhighway because of Vegemite.
He goes, it's unanimous. People hate it. It's definitely an epic fail.
And then there's like a little flashing red light. It's like epic fail.
And a stamp.
Yeah. When Kanye West stole Taylor Swift's moment at the VMAs, I thought, this is going to be big. But I think at least on Aussie soil, Iceknack 2.0 will take over as the biggest blunder of 2009. That's his prediction. Big
so
prediction.
So sad.
Yeah.
He said all this wearing an Ed Hardy t-shirt while Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas played in the background. I assume.
He's so 3000 and late. Best lyric, tell you.
Jars of Iceknack 2.0 hit the shelves, but a renaming was swiftly organised with an online poll determining the new name. Cheesy Bite won with around a third of the vote, beating out second place Vegemite Smooth, third place is Vegemite Vegemate, Snack Mate, Veggie Mild and Creamy Mate.
You pass us some of that creamy, mate? With pleasure.
Did you know that was an old Vegemite slogan before our time? Apparently it was, pass me the Vegemite, mum. That was close to that. I thought you were referencing...
Pass me the creamy mite, mum.
Oh, no. What have we done?
Yuck.
The original Iceknack 2.0 jars were... They went out to market. There were quite a few of them. And I looked it up.
It's like when a family dog dies and they say, we've had to put it out. It's gone. It's gone out of the farm.
We've had to delete your dog.
Sorry. Put it out
on
the market.
It's not in the line anymore.
That means all the jars have been crushed in landfill somewhere.
But some went to market. And I saw one on eBay last night for $99.
And you bought it.
Yeah,
and it's here today.
I would have actually supported that purchase.
I would not have.
Have you ever had Iceknack 2.0?
No.
I have had a creamy.
You had a mite?
Creamy mite, yes.
So that's another story. Over the years, Oh, hang on. Mr. Paragraph here. This is all good stuff.
Mr. Wanna... Paragraph?
That's my father's name. Vegemite also caught a controversy in 2007 when it was reported by the Age newspaper that Vegemite had been banned in Victorian prisons. This is quoting from the article. Vegemite is off the menu for Victoria's 4,200 prisoners because of fears they could use Australia's favourite breakfast spread to make booze. Authorities have cracked down on the dark spread because prisoners have discovered ways to refine Vegemite, which has a high yeast content, to brew alcohol. Authorities first cracked down on the breakfast spread in the late 90s, but there are concerns that homebrew is still being made inside prisons, particularly in the lead up to Christmas. Bloody Grinch, hey? The Grinch, huh?
Yeah, right.
It's a festive time for all.
The Department of Justice said Vegemite was banned because prisoners have been known to extract the yeast. The extraction process involves melting Vegemite and using the yeast to ferment sugar and carbohydrates into alcohol. Apparently, this is scientifically very almost impossible. So
they got a lot of time on their hands.
And Bunsen burners.
Because all the yeast in Vegemite is dead, so they have to... Yeah, it sounds like it's unnecessary and the prisons have just been idiots.
They have to get like a witch doctor in too.
But if you smear yourself in creamy mite, you're smooth enough to slip through the bars. So they banned that as well.
That's true, yeah. That one is true. That's scientifically very easy.
Over the years, ownership of Vegemite had been bought and sold by multiple multinational companies, most recently by Mondelez International. But in 2017, it was announced that Australian dairy company Bega would be purchasing most of Mondelez International Australian and New Zealand grocery and cheese businesses, including the Vegemite brand. In a $460 million acquisition, Bega chairman Barry Irvin said at the time, "Everybody loves cheese and Vegemite, and I think that Bega cheese and Vegemite are just a natural fit." So it's back in Australian hands.
Yes. Good.
Bega's share price immediately jumped.
Reluctant applause from the American in the front row. Yeah, we got you. Don't even.
Had to give it back. Sorry, mate, but it's ours now, dog. Bega's share price immediately jumped 12%. On the Wikipedia page, is this the end? No, it's not quite. All right.
Bega and Vegemite also formed the Bega and Vegemite Cinematic Universe, so they've got a franchise coming out in a couple of years.
A cheese arm.
They have on the Wikipedia page, they also have a section titled Vegemite in Popular Culture, which is a podcast I'm going to start. Vegemite.
Well, wouldn't it be the silliest podcast you've ever started, would it?
He's talking about primates. Yeah, that's what I think.
I thought he was talking about Grab a Traveller, the podcast I did with Nick Kappa for 3 episodes about 6 years ago, where we grabbed a beer and we talked about travels. Anyway.
No, that's a good concept.
It lists multiple songs that reference the spread, including Men at Work's unofficial Australian anthem, Down Under, with the verse... "Buying bread from a man in Brussels, he was 6'4" and full of muscles. I said, "Do you speak my language?" He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
I'm going to speak to this German in his native language.
And he said, "I come from a land down under where beer does flow and men chunder. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover." I never knew those lyrics before. So it sounds like the song's a warning about guys vomiting?
What were you singing previously?
Yeah, what do you mean you didn't know these lyrics?
To be fair, that's probably how I sing it also.
I didn't realise that the beer does flow on men chunder. Better run, better take cover.
From the chunder.
All right. No wonder that's our national song. We love beer.
And we love chunder.
You know the second verse to
Down
Under?
Fine too.
Yes.
How's it go again?
We don't have time.
Beneath the...
Southern Cross, we'll toil with hearts and hands to make this commonwealth of ours ring out through all the land.
You're kind of destroying the idea that we don't know it.
Come across the sea, we've found
boundless plains to share.
That's a lie.
Come on in, everyone, except you. Everyone.
That's why we don't sing the second verse.
Yeah. Yeah, it got deleted.
Vegemite is also referenced in John Williamson's unofficial Australian anthem, True Blue. True Blue, in this case, referring to things that are authentically Australian. That's what he's going through. The phrase, of course, originating in Britain. Williamson, you bloody drongo. Williamson later re-released the song eliminating the reference to Vegemite when he realised it was American-owned.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yep.
The article also references a few occasions, I'll finish with these, a few occasions where Australians fed Vegemite to Americans, including when Julia Gillard gave American President Barack Obama a taste in 2011. Obama described the taste as horrible.
So Gillard, eloquent.
Gillard tried to explain it, and then Obama tried to sum up the description saying, so it's like a quasi-vegetable byproduct paste that you smear on your toast for breakfast. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yes, Barry, it sounds bloody delicious. God bless Australia. Do people call him Barry?
Yeah.
Baz.
His friends. Well, I think of myself as one. American TV presenter and comedian Steve Harvey was given a jar of Vegemite by an Australian audience member in 2013. He had a taste and said, Vegemite sounds like pesticide. That's about damn near what it tastes like. That's not the ideal finish. I've got two fun facts here. They're more facts than fun, but I'll read them quickly.
Oh, Jess can tell you they're fun.
Yeah, they're from twistedhistory.net.au. Vegemite recently sold out in Hong Kong supermarkets due to its high demand. Apparently, the demand for Vegemite stems from the black spread being rated as umami, a Japanese word that literally evokes a fifth sense of utmost deliciousness. The Japanese have also renamed Vegemite Vegemato.
Now that says Sheila. I don't know. You've done it again.
We might finish on that, I reckon.
I'll keep that going for Matt Stewart and Vegemite, yeah.
Before we go, I've got a couple of quick announcements. Someone dropped their tickets to Magma for tonight on the stairs. If you did, come talk to me. Geez, someone's not owning up to that. It's a very good show. If
it's a good show.
Tonight,
you should go see that.
Tasman Terrace. What else do we do to finish?
Oh, we should probably tell them that this is the last Melbourne Comedy Festival show we're doing here for the year, so thank you so much for coming out. But a guy that has two shows left only here at the Melbourne Comedy Festival is Matt Stewart.
That's right. It's called Bone Dry. If you haven't seen it, it's a lot of good fun. And it's getting, if you have seen it before, it's better now. And it's on two last nights at 7 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Chinese Museum. It'd be great to see you there. And what else do we say? Thanks so much for coming on, Nick Mason.
What a pleasure. Yeah, Mason, a big round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And for the people at home, if you don't know Nick Mason's great work, of course, check out the Weekly Planet podcast, which is fantastic and well-loved around the world.
Stop it. Your podcast's great. Yours
is you're talking about primates? Yeah.
What was the travel-y one again? Now that's a good idea.
We never release it. I'll put them out.
Yeah, put them out.
Nobody
Patreon
wants
bonuses.
That.
Sorry, I fucked that up again. What are we...
Well, we've got to say a big thank you to everyone that's helped us put these last four shows together. We've got to thank Julio on sound. Woo! Thank you so much. Doing a great job. Woo! We had Bianca helping us out on the door. Aiden's been a great guy as well. Woo! The T-shirts and stuff.
Talia, did you think?
Talia on the door as well. Thank you so much.
Pat and Steph on the cameras.
Thank you. Our main man, Carl Chandler, who organised this at the European Beer Cafe. Thank you very much.
Aiden's doing a bit of help with the merchandise. Yeah.
If you want to stick around and say hello, head downstairs and we'll be out there shortly. If you want to grab a T-shirt, it's your last chance to grab one in Melbourne, so we'll have them somewhere up the back. But head out the back stairs, head downstairs and we'll catch up with you downstairs.
And the Saints play at 4:35. It's on the TV downstairs if you want to watch it with me.
Well, that is the end of it, and I guess we'll see you in Koh Samui.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
And I'm back. And I'm recording this in my car inside my garage so I don't wake anyone else up. So, the glamorous life of a podcaster, Dave, in the car studio. So thanks again to everyone that came to the shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Our next live ones coming up, if you want to see us, will be, as we said at the end of the episode, see you in Koh Samui, live in Asia at the Koh Samui International Podcast Festival with the Little Dum Dum Club. Now, it's not too late to get on board. 5 nights of podcasting, stand-up, and more shenanigans live on a beach. Everyone stays at the same resort, there's 2 different resorts actually this year. So everyone gets to hang out together, and because of that, they've booked out a bunch of rooms, so you get a sweet deal. It's really, really cheap accommodation. And 5 nights of podcasting goodness. If you want to go on a come away for a tropical holiday with us, check out the link in the description of this episode, or just go to dogoonpod.com and click on our shows. Now, one thing I have to do at the end of this episode is thank some Patreon supporters. Now, if you want to be one of these fantastic supporters, which we would appreciate, you go to patreon.com/dogoonpod, bunch of rewards there, 2 bonus episodes a month that no one else hears, shout-outs, you get pre-sales to all of our live shows, access to our Patreon-only Facebook group, which is just becoming more and more active. There's a lot of fun in there. So, yeah, just check that out if you are so inclined. And one of our rewards, part of the Sydney Sheinberg, rest in peace, deluxe package is one of our supporters in that group gets to give themselves a title and then a fact, quote, or a question which I read out on the show. Now, there's not many people in this group, so that means you get a lot of shout-outs, really, and shout-out right now to a man that if Jess and Matt were here, we would say, Mr. Justin McCain plays a silly game. Justin McCain, have you worked out what that means yet? Have you looked up Peter Coombe, the children's entertainer from the 80s and 90s in Australia? What an absolute legend. But Mr. Justin McCain, you are also a legend, and you've given me quite a title to read out this week. So hopefully I don't disrespect you by mispronouncing any of these, but you are clearly a very accomplished person. I don't have all the degrees that you do, and I'm going to read them out now. We've got Justin McCain, who is known as Lord Dr. Sir Justin McCain, the 9th Esquire, OBE, OBGYN, KGB, PhD, the 15th Earl of Warwickshire. Justin, you've done it again. And Justin's actually opted to give us a fact, which I love when people give us a fact. And usually Matt reads these out, and he doesn't fact check them, and neither have I this week. So, Justin, I mean, would you fact check an OBE, OBGYN, KGB, PhD Earl, who's also a Lord, Doctor, and a Sir? I don't think so. That would be offensive. So Justin's fact is, there are approximately 8 times 10 to 6, to the power of 68 ways to shuffle a deck of cards. So to put that into perspective, he said that's 8 with 68 zeros behind it. This means if you make a new shuffle every second from the dawn of time, the car, maybe the engine's on and I'm slowly getting fumes in this small garage, I don't know. Let me read that again. This means if you make a new shuffle every second from the dawn of time until this second, you'd be about a billionth of the way complete. Wow, and I can't tell if that is hyperbole or if that is really a billionth. Because hyperbole has no place in mathematics, Justin McCain. We know that, so I'm sure that that is true. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I'm going to start now. All right, 4 shuffles. No, I'm giving up. Thank you, Justin. Now, I'm going to thank 3 Patreon supporters this week, people that support the show, and usually we give them a little shout-out, and then also a little game that Jess comes up with often, but just because it's a little odd me this week, and because we talked about Vegemite this week on the episode, I've Googled weird Vegemite recipes, and I'm going to challenge each of these people to give these recipes a go, which is going to be hard because we do this in order of when people pledge. And so we just get the names at random. Well, not at random, you know, it's in an order, but we get the names and we put them in, and all 3 of these people are from overseas. So I can't even guarantee that they have ever tried Vegemite or have access to it. But still, I'm throwing the challenge down. And now I would like to thank first of all, from Alaska, in the United States of America. A lot of supporters over in America. Not many from Alaska, so thank you so much. And I would like to thank Rosa Spicer, which, to be honest, sounds like a dish you could make with Vegemite. The Rosa Spicer. Thank you, Rosa. We appreciate your support. And I'm going to throw down and challenge you to cook with your Vegemite. This is, I found a BuzzFeed article of Vegemite recipes, and then it took you to different websites. And I would like to challenge you to cook swordfish with Vegemite and walnut pesto. Mmm. It says you need 1 tablespoon of Vegemite and 6 swordfish steaks. Which I looked it up for you, also. If you think that sounds expensive, it is a little bit. According to seafood website AlaskanHarvest.com, that will cost you $65.50 just for the steaks. But hey, splash out. To be honest, to ship Vegemite to where you are, it will probably also cost about $65.50 just to get a single bit of Vegemite. So thank you to Ross Spicer. Good luck with the swordfish. Now I'd like to thank and throw down the challenge now to someone from Sacramento in California. Beth Richardson. Beth, have you ever tried Vegemite? If any, I'd actually love to know after that episode what our overseas listeners think of Vegemite. So if anyone wants to get in contact, please let us know what you think of Vegemite. From Sacramento, California, Beth Richardson, I'm challenging you to cook a Vegemite cheesecake. Hmm? Are you much of a baker, Beth? It says it will take you 2 hours and 10 minutes to make and bake. And you are instructed to use 2 teaspoons of Vegemite, but it says it will be a subtle taste. If you want a stronger taste, add more. My tip to you, Beth, as an Australian who's not a big Vegemite eater, do not add more, especially on your first go round. So thanks, Beth. Good luck with your cake. And I would finally like to thank, also from overseas, but from a different continent now, from Great Britain in Bedfordshire, Dean Walker. Dean Walker. Is there a weird Aussie shop or something you might be able to get Vegemite over there? Maybe it is more common than we think. But I'm doubting it. Let me know. I would like to thank Dean Walker, and I'm challenging you to cook Vegemite ganache cannoli with avocado ice cream and coffee. Wow. Let's just go through that again. Vegemite ganache cannoli with avocado ice cream and coffee. Now, the author of the blog that posted this recipe, lemonpie.net, that's pi.net, says, the dessert played on the flavors of avocado, Vegemite, and toast. 3 ingredients, which are one of my favourite ways to start the morning. How I came about the idea of incorporating them into a dessert is a bit long-winded and would probably require a flowchart to accurately retell. So, I'm not going to. We appreciate your brevity there, lemonpie.net. So, thank you to Dean Walker, Beth Richardson, Rosa Spicer. If you or anyone at home decides to make any of these recipes, please send us a photo. That would be absolutely amazing. Or if you have any ideas of your own strange ways to eat Vegemite, please get in contact. And if you want to get in contact about anything, it's all the details are on our website, dogoonpod.com. It's dogoonpod@gmail.com and then @dogoonpod on all the social medias. There's a link below in the description of the episode to all of these things. So, yeah. Thanks again to everyone who supports the show. Gives us reviews on iTunes, that kind of stuff. It all adds up and all means a lot and keeps the show going. So, yeah, we appreciate that. We'll be back next week with another in-studio episode. But until then, I'll say thank you so much for listening. And I will say goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.